And welcome, gentle listener, to The Talking Show, Kaechung Radio, Chinatown's only micro-broadcasting radio station's only all-talking, all-the-time radio show. Tonight, voyage inward with us into the secret heart of all that we know and experience here in Los Angeles, with Kevin Rogers on this encore presentation of a commission made exclusively for The Talking Show. Hi. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another installment of Kaechung Radio's The Talking Show. I'm Steve Cato.
And I'm Nicholas Miller.
And we are your hosts.
Here on The Talking Show.
We're a bit out of our element today, in a rare bridging of the gap between East and West LA. We have taken the phenomenal Kaechung mobile unit all the way to the coast, to Yorkton, Saskatchewan born, but El Segundo based artist Kevin Rogers studio.
Yeah, it's pretty far out there for us. We seldom cross even La Brea.
That's right, Nicholas. And he's just getting set up here, so pardon the noise. The reason we had to come all the way out here, typically we don't come very far west, isn't that right,
Nicholas? No, I mean, yeah. There's almost never any need.
Yeah, not since the tour we took of the Frankfurt School in Exile, really.
Yeah, Adorno and all those guys, yeah.
anyway, so we quite rarely come this far west, rarely even leaving our Chinatown headquarters.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little lonely out here. A little lonely.
We call it the Tower of Solitude.
That's right.
But the reason we're out here is because this is another of our series of new commissions for The Talking Show by artists, speakers, other professionals. And we're here because Kevin's work has such a range of technical complexity that even the very, very, very best studio in the east side of Los Angeles, being the Kaechung Chinatown facility,
absolutely the best,
is inadequate to this complex purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing. Looking around at Kevin's studio, he has a fleet of interns just to run these machines.
That's right.
And these machines are super complicated.
I think there were three Caltech interns here, actually.
Yep. No way. That guy with the horn-rimmed glasses, he's definitely from MIT.
Yeah, that's right, Nicholas. Those are the Caltech interns.
No, one of them's from MIT is what I was trying to say. He looks like Robert Oppenheimer or something. The one with the horn-rimmed glasses. And the color of the shirt kind of gives it away.
That's the guy who used to work at
NASA?
Yeah.
Really?
Anyway, so there's a large staff here, Kevin's large staff, and they're just getting set. It is very complicated here, looking around.
You could almost get electrocuted just walking through it.
Also unusual for us, our studio audience is listening to this simulcast in the Kaechung studios, not actually present with us at the moment. So this is a weird time for them as well.
Yeah, another reason not to leave the east side of town.
Anyway, so Kevin Rogers is almost set up.
Yeah, it looks, I can see him through the window. It looks like they're just about ready. I'm getting a thumbs up. Are we ready,
and,
Steve?
Wait. Sorry.
Steve.
Anyway.
We're live, Steve.
Hello, everyone. So let me hear from you if you are successful in giving up your work you understand the point of giving up your work, if you have anything to report about the beauty of worthlessness, or at least the investigation of worthlessness. Okay, those are our themes for this afternoon.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Los Angeles. She shares life along the coast of her native California with husband John Gregory Dunn, who is also a writer. They're a prolific literary pair, churning out essays on the California lifestyle, book reviews, novels, and even screenplays. It was Dunn's idea to bring back A Star Is Born as a rock love story, and they wrote the initial screenplay. But it is Didion's work as an essayist and novelist that is most celebrated. This physically frail, reticent woman writes spellbinding prose in a style that is spare and occasionally sinister.
It's the only aggressive act I have. It's the only way I can be aggressive.
Is there a transformation in Joan Didion from sitting here and moving into a typewriter? When you sit down in a typewriter, are you a different person?
Yeah, I'm totally in control of this tiny, tiny world right there at the typewriter.
It becomes your world. You're more comfortable there than you are here, not just on a television interview, but in almost any other situation.
Yeah, actually, except in the most, I'm comfortable in the kitchen, I'm comfortable cooking, I'm comfortable performing in a way. I mean, I'm comfortable doing something.
How important is it to live here?
I like to look at the horizon. That is nice. It is always there, flat. I like to live in California. I'm from here. I like to live in Los Angeles because it's neutral. I like the way it feels here. I'm not sure that I could work in a city where I was constantly being overstimulated, overcharged in a way.
Are you optimistic about the future?
The future of...
Us.
I don't know. I hope so.
Dennis Wilson no longer owned a boat at the marina, but he still spent a lot of time here visiting friends. It was during an afternoon get-together aboard this boat that Wilson decided to go swimming and diving off the dock. For 15 minutes, friends desperately searched the waters for Wilson. Divers in the harbor patrol were finally called in.
They conducted a search with two divers. They brought in two additional divers, and... It took them that length of time, over an hour, to find the body.
One of the things I've been feeling is how accustomed I've gotten in my life, or the full length of my life, of just sort of accepting a stale limitation and preparing for something in the future, preparing for actually, and for myself personally, I've been preparing for a very dramatic breaking up of myself and others, but it's always seemed like that's down the road in the future, and now it's the reality is no, it's not that driven in the future, it's right now. Right now is the time for me to be here fully, and it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment to sort of break out of those old habits.
Stinson Beach, California, August 7th, 1945. Dear Uppy, you are probably the most famous man in the world today, and yet I am not sure that this letter will reach you. But if it does, I want you to know that we are very proud of you. And if it doesn't, you will know it anyway. We have been irritated by your reticence these past few years, but under the itchy surface we knew that it was all right, that the work was progressing, but the heart was still there, and the warm being we have known and cherished. I can understand now, as I could guess then, the somber note in you during our last meetings. There is a weight in such a venture which few men in history have had to bear. I know that with your love of men, it is no light thing to have had a part, and a great part, and a diabolical contrivance for destroying them. But in the possibilities of death are also the possibilities of life. You have made history. We are happy for you.
It was nobody's fault that the bomb was dropped. As usual, the reason it was dropped was just that nobody had the courage or the foresight to say no. The glitter of nuclear weapons, it is irresistible if you come to them as a scientist. To feel it's there in your hands to release this energy that fuels the stars, to let it do your bidding, to perform these miracles, to lift a million tons of rock into the sky, it is something that gives people an illusion of illimitable power, and it is in some ways responsible for all our troubles, I would say. This, what you might call technical arrogance that overcomes people when they see what they can do with their minds.
Als eines Instruments der Information drängt Goethe ins Äußerste. Das Verhältnis des Menschen zur Sprache ist in einer Wandlung begriffen, deren Tragweite wir noch nicht ermessen. Der Verlauf dieser Wandlung lässt sich auch nicht unmittelbar aufhalten. Er geht überdies in der größten Stille vor sich. Zwar müssen wir zugeben, dass die Sprache im Alltag wie ein Mittel der Verständigung erscheint und als dieses Mittel für die gewöhnlichen Verhältnisse des Lebens genutzt wird. Allein, es gibt noch andere Verhältnisse als die gewöhnlichen. Goethe nennt diese anderen Verhältnisse die tieferen und sagt von der Sprache: Im gemeinen Leben kommen wir mit der Sprache notdürftig aus, weil wir nur oberflächliche Verhältnisse bezeichnen. Sobald von tieferen Verhältnissen die Rede ist, tritt sogleich eine andere Sprache ein, die poetische.
To one person might mean being wealthy, having all the money that they could ever dream of. Success to another person might be being in love. I think success is being self-contented. I read something in a book the other day that said getting there is much, much better than being there.
I wonder what you mean. When you use the word I,
don't you think you should take responsibility for your own actions?
I always have taken responsibility for your actions. Always. Everything bores me.
Are you prepared to go into rehab?
The only thing I find interesting is myself.
It's a sign, the way I look at it is it's a sign that I'm identifying with my thoughts.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
but so what?
This happened on December 30th, 2003. That may seem a while ago.
The true life is not reducible to words spoken or written, not by anyone, ever. The true life takes place when you're alone, thinking, feeling, lost in memory, dreamingly self-aware, the sub-microscopic moments.
News at 10 is coming up in just a few moments. A decomposed human body has been found in the Hollywood Hills near Mulholland Drive. We're going to have a late report for you from the scene. The search has been called off for two victims of a helicopter crash off Catalina Island. Larry McCormick will begin a special series of reports tonight on breast cancer. Some of the material in this report may be considered quite graphic, but I think you'll find the series very informative and important. There's been an attempted military coup in Spain. Moscow is talking about a possible summit meeting with President Reagan, and Rita Jenrette tells why she posed semi-nude for Playboy magazine. We'll have all that and more coming up next on News
at 10. Now, I know for you at home, many of you, just like me, have goals that you haven't achieved, and you have dreams that haven't been realized.
These are all in your own head. They're all coming from your own brain. This is your brain just reviewing its storage unit.
The Christian proverb is that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And people, in other words, have to get desperate.
Is that a yes or no?
It was a fuck you!
Finally, after maybe 6 or 7 hours, you start to re-enter into the atmosphere. You start to come back into your own identity. Now, this is perhaps the most sensitive or subtle point of the session. It's the rebirth process. Now the question is how to re-enter in such a way that the experience is profitable to you in the life you're going to live subsequently.
Can you or the guide speak to this notion of authoring oneself?
That's incorrect. That's identifying the self as the word. It is not authorship. That is not authorship. Authorship implies description. Authorship implies what? Description. Description, description, of the self. Describe the self as different to identify the self. They say to describe the self as different than identifying the self. Then identifying the self, to claim the word. To claim the word is to claim the true self, is to claim the true self. To say I am authoring myself. To say I am authoring myself is actually misleading. Is actually misleading because you are saying that you are a creation of your own mind. Because you are saying you are a creation of your own mind. Of your own mind. To an extent that is absolutely true. To an extent that is absolutely true, but only to the extent that you self-identify, in relation, to other people and things, is actually different than I am this person, who has authored myself as, whatever you want to say,
I am ashamed I ever was his friend.
It's so good to be here with you like this.
It's good to see you.
So it's absolutely simple what I have to say to you. It's what my teacher said to me.
To ask ourselves the question, quite fundamentally, what's all the trouble about? In other words, what is your state of mind when you contemplate the possibility of everything becoming nothing? All right, so the universe is a transitory system. like a bubble, like smoke, like foam on the water. And so, how easy? Just go along with it, dissolve. So, what's the problem? Why don't we want to give up? What do we think we're going to get by holding on and by resisting the dissolution? What is your state of mind when you contemplate the possibility of everything becoming nothing? What do you really feel like inside at the prospect of there being nothing? Of this whole thing being a bubble that dissolves? The most frightening thing about death is there might be something beyond it, and you don't know what it is. You remember facing the world as a child, or at any time, the world is full of threats, mostly from other people. And there are monsters. There are all sorts of things which scare you, but beyond every monster is death. Dissolution is the end of it all. What will it be like to go to sleep and never wake up? Nobody can think about it. But what is that state when you're teased out of thought? See, get with it. Going to sleep and never waking up. This is not, as you would fantasize it, a state of being in the dark forever.
Oriented society is a false society. 10 or 15 years from now, our society will go down in history as the lowest development in man.
I just can't imagine him being president. It's too complex a job.
Yeah, I'd hate to see him involved in a Near East peace discussion or Seoul 3 agreement and come up with one of these ill-informed, shoot-from-the-hip types of comments.
When I go into the polling booth on November 4th, I'm not just going to think of the politics. I got to think of my family.
When you talk about black people, Haiti, you know, we haven't had it this bad in a long time.
You have made accusations about the sheriff's
Good evening.
Department.
Last January 15th, I went before your senators and representatives in Congress with a comprehensive plan to make our country independent of foreign sources.
Greasers calling us greasers, dirty Mexican greasers, calling us spics. And it's really uncalled for. I wonder where these men are. We'd like to know if these men are on the payroll of the county or where they're being financed through Sheriff Wiley and through the growers' funds. We want to know if the growers are financing that kind of operation.
You're not a newsman.
If I ask you a challenging question...
I told you, and I said, you give me the names. We're negotiating good faith. Don't put that in my face.
Okay.
I'm upset at you.
Well,
I expect more professionalism from the reporters.
Sir, I just asked you a question.
I expect more professionalism from the reporters.
It's not been mentioned to me, but that's not to say that it doesn't happen. I mean, I've had, in the early days when I was doing groups, people used to get the smell of roses in the room, you know, and that was a phenomenon that hasn't.
Well, you know how it is. Man gets restless.
Hello there. And welcome to my home. I am so happy that you're beginning your great exploration of social artistry. Because truly, my friends, these are the times, and we are the people.
I could tell you I saw a cock in that ink blot, but why? I could give you a lot of answers, but none of them apply. Here are some typical questions the doctors here asked me. I'm to answer yes or no. Do I think a large number of people are guilty of bad sexual conduct? Do I believe my sins are unpardonable? Have I been disappointed in love? How could I answer? How could it apply? I'll tell you what I do. I try to live in the now. I watch hummingbirds. I go for a walk during visiting hours. I see no one I used to know. But then, I'm not just crazy about a lot of people. I used to ask questions. And I got the answer.
It was an extraordinary noontime presidential address from the Oval Office, hastily scheduled. The tone was conciliatory. The intent was to contain the growing threat to his presence.
Money was diverted from the sale of U.S. arms to Iran to go to aid the Contras, the so-called freedom fighters, against the Nicaraguan government at a time that that was against the law.
The president, in order to eliminate what he called the mistaken perception of an arms for hostages deal, said there would be
one of the key figures behind the Central American operation was Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, a White House advisor, whose sources say was also involved in arranging
U.S. military assistance to the Contras, gun running, narcotic smuggling, bombing plots, and other matters which shocked the conscience.
Those who served the president haven't served the president well.
Some White House officials are pushing the notion North was an irresponsible self-promoter. Officials also say North often lied about having close ties to the president.
Shredding relevant documents after an investigation was underway. Obstruction of past congressional inquiries. The misuse of government funds.
Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North remains the key mysterious figure.
Colonel Long, please rise. And will you solemnly swear that in the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, I do. Please be
I will tell you right now, counsel, and to all the members here gathered, that I misled the Congress. I missed
At that meeting. Face to face. You made false statements to them about your activities in support of the Contras.
I did. Furthermore, I did so with a purpose.
Well, I thought my razor was dull until I heard his speech. And that reminds me of a story that's so dirty I'm ashamed to think of it myself. I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway. Whatever it is, I'm against it. No matter what it is or who commenced it, I'm against it. Your proposition may be good, but let's have one thing understood. Whatever it is, I'm against it. And even when you've changed it or condensed it, I'm against it. I'm opposed to it. On general principles, I'm opposed to it.
He's opposed to it. In fact, indeed, that he's opposed to it.
For months before my son was born, I used to yell from night till morn, whatever it is, I'm against it. And I've kept yelling since I first commenced it. I'm against it.
You know how it is. Man gets restless.
Oh, yeah, the same with me.
We have the brains, the know-how, the technology, and the feasibility to build an entirely new civilization.
You believe that we teach competition that is not bred into something?
Competition is dangerous, socially offensive, considered right and normal, because you are brought up to that value system.
There's nothing to say. The less I say, the better I feel. You tried keeping quiet all day long. The moment you awake, till you go to sleep. And better yet, just sleep all day long and forget the day. Get up the next day, you feel great.
So it's a horse race, isn't it? Here we are. And we don't know where we are, the beginning, the middle, or the end.
As soon as these motherfuckers go legal.
She's an undisputed expert on matters of the heart.
In the possible society, creating a possible world. Because if we become one possible human and not in a possible world, it's galloping narcissism. If we become a possible society without the possible human, it becomes a great collective totalitarian race. If we become a possible world, then we're not doing it. We might as well not let the ETs in. So it has to be this great trinity, possible human or possible world, creating a possible society. That's why we need the knocking at the gates in time.
Oh, blessed Reverend, I must talk with you.
Of course. Won't you please come up to my office?
Let me get you a drink, some Benedictine, perhaps, from the monasteries of the Trappist monks, a truly spiritual potion.
You said something a moment ago that I have to follow up on, and I have to pull you, draw you out on. You said you don't have to lie anymore now that you're not a politician. What did you lie about when you were governor?
It's all a lie. What did you lie about? All right, now here's what. You run for office, and the assumption is, oh, I know what to do. You know, I didn't have a plan for California. Clinton doesn't have a plan.
So you said you had a plan. You said you had a plan for California. Well, you lied because you didn't have a plan.
You say you're going to lower taxes. You're going to put people to work. You're going to improve the schools. The schools, you're going to stop crime. Crime is up. Schools are worse. Taxes are higher. I mean, be real.
All my clothes, Balenciaga original, Chanel's, all my furs, all my jewels, for money for drugs.
It's time to live in dreams, the time to lay beside.
Well, when I said I just hope I haven't
put
you out,
to the gentle place within.
That's it wrong. I had.
A gentle hand to touch, your smile so beautiful, becomes a part of me.
I let down our system of government. Dreams of all those young people that ought to get into government but will think it's all too corrupt and harassment. Yep, I let the American people down.
Tonight, that despite repeated warnings by forecasters, some did choose to go into the monster swells off Hubble Beach this afternoon. Unfortunately for 45-year-old Peter Jobby, it cost him his life. Action News reporter Carlos Bergara spoke to family members and friends who say that Peter died doing what he loved to do.
Fellow men most if we are guided solely by the striving for gain.
It seems that we have a problem. Well, the other aspect of being for human beings is this aspect of making up meaning.
How do I get into this logically? Okay. The good things about this job you know about, because I've been telling you about it, you get paid to meet interesting people and all the rest of it. The bad thing that was happening to me was I was beginning to see the world in 8 and 10 and 12 minute segments. And I could not separate my life from the show.
I want to thank you for one thing. If you ever get to be president, and I think you may, and there's a depression, try not to have it at a bad time, like when everybody's out of work.
Okay, I do care about, a lot of these social issues. And I really sincerely like, things to be a lot different. But I don't know why, but last year I was a lot more into it than I am this year. The reason that you become active in something like that is because you think that maybe you can change it. And, right now I question it. I really question it. Right now I think I'm more... maybe selfish, but I think I'm more interested, in getting myself together.
President Carter and the leaders of six other major non-communist countries are unveiling what American officials are calling a concrete and concerted action program to deal with global economic...
Yeah.
I don't invest anything for anybody.
what your role is in this country and what your future is in it.
Now we need to have a conversation about time, right? You may say, well, that's not all that unusual. People are always talking about time, right? You may have heard conversations like, I don't have enough time. Or if only there was a little bit more time, right? Or, you know, I got to be here next Tuesday at 12 o'clock. But that's not the kind of time we want to talk about now. We want to talk about the kind of time that actually impacts who we are right now in the present.
When the fumes and flames of an expiring yesterday, we can begin a new tomorrow.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico, the National Congress of American Indians has been meeting to press for the Indians' rights as citizens. It's the largest meeting the organization has held, and its mood is angry. Many Indians fear the government still won't let them run their own affairs.
I knew that this was probably going to anger a few of you Uncle Tomahawks, or you sellouts, or you hang around the forts, as it used to be called in the old days. And I really don't give a damn, because I came down here to cause a little disturbance. The crazy horse and Geronimo and a few of these other great leaders we had could see the pathetic conditions we're living under today. I'm sure they would turn over in their grave.
Told we would see America come and go. In a sense, America is dying from within, because they forgot the instructions on how to live on Earth.
Welcome to a concert in the San Fernando Valley. Seems a little bizarre and frightening to you, you're not alone. These are mostly middle-class suburban kids out having a good time on a Thursday night in Reseda. They're punks, and the subculture they've embraced is causing problems that go beyond the usual generation gap. The kids are mostly male, usually very young. Some are in their early teens. A lot of parents think these kids are just plain out of control. For those parents and their kids, this is not just another foolish teenage fad. It's a daily crisis. This is a story about parents and punks and some families in trouble.
They're filming Your Ugly Mugs here tonight. So if you don't want your to be shown on television, get the
That's all in useful and weatherful tonight. We seem to have a few points.
If one takes together various aspects of what you've said up to this point, they could be rather disquieting.
As there is about to happen.
What is he talking about?
Macbeth.
We know you. We've seen you like this before.
Recession or not, we're going to be joined by Art Laffer. He's chief investment officer of Laffer Investments and former economic advisor to President Reagan. And Peter Schiff, he's president of Euro Pacific Capital. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Peter, I want to start with you. Although there are more and more people saying that the U.S. economy will be in a recession next year, it is still a minority position. Why do you think that a recession is coming, and just how bad is it going to be?
It's very commonly said that the root of most human unhappiness is the sense that one's life has no meaning.
Story about what? As you can see, there's construction underway here. They dug out a little bit. There's water that's accumulated. Traffic's backed up. In a city the size of Houston, there's always traffic. So what's the big fucking deal? What the fuck are we doing out here? I ask you, what in the fuck are we doing here?
Well, maybe we're here because the selfing game is what Infinity does for fun.
I know, because I've been there too. But I've learned that with Mind Master, your subconscious mind can hold the key to achieving those goals and turning your dreams into reality.
You're considering the subject of time and the whole concept of the future. And the point of departure that I would like to suggest to you is that time is a social institution and not a physical reality.
And so, in a way, we are here to support one another in not exactly reclaiming that initial call.